happy camper.
Welcome back to the program. You need some help on that bumper, by the way. You need to employ some talented people to...
Yeah, I love this music, though.
You love the music?
It's really happy. Wow. It makes me happy.
Welcome back to the program with my happy engineer, Stephen Labadie. I'm Angelo Viola on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. Labadie, sorry.
There we go.
Stephen Labadie. please keep correcting me when I slip there. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and we have Derek Brandeo, Jessica Ellis on the other side helping us through, like they do each and every Saturday morning for the 8 to 10. On the line with us is no stranger to the outdoors. That's why that little bumper was played. That's his bumper, apparently.
Yep.
That I said needs some help. His name is Kevin Callan. He is the happy camper, expert wilderness canoeist and camper, and now blogger on fishingcanada.com. Look at you. Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good. Yourself?
Good. I'm in the woods.
Oh, there's a surprise, Kevin. I would have never thought that would happen with you. Last time we talked, buddy, you were planning a canoe trip from Lake Simcoe to Georgian Bay. How did that go?
It went really well, actually. I had a really good time. It was a lot of paddling. It was a heat wave. Yeah, it was heat wave.
Yeah.
The cool thing about it wasn't a wilderness route, right? I mean, so I'm paddling down the Trent Severn. But you know, along the lift lock, that big, huge train thing that lifts you up and lifts the boats up and puts you over the big mound.
The
or
chute.
What's it called?
Yeah,
the chute.
It's called
the
chute. Yeah.
So I put my canoe in there, and that was freaky.
You put your canoe in the chute. They actually carried you up and over.
Yes, yes. I actually said, am I allowed to put the canoe in there? They go, yeah. So they go, just, you know, sit in the canoe. Don't stand out in there. And yeah, it was like three stories up. It was really cool. Yeah.
That's hilarious. I don't think I've ever seen that. That's good. Good for you, man.
it was a good trip. It was a good trip. Yeah. Fishing was good.
How long were you on it?
I think it was about an 8-day trip, about 120 kilometers. And I did a whole bunch of sections of canoe routes. So in that region, there's a whole bunch of day trips, right? So the idea is that, you know, I wanted to do those day trips, but all together as one. So I went down the Black River. I went down the Trent Severn. I paddled across Lake Kuching. That's a shallow lake, man. Holy jumping. The wind just picked up big time. Jeez. And,
you know what Kuching means, right?
Probably Lake of Winds.
Lake of Many Winds.
So you're telling me this now. You could have told me before the trip.
And, of course, a lake of many winds is not where you want to be when you have a sore back. How did that hold out? Because I know you were experiencing some problems earlier on in the year. How did that affect your trip?
Yeah, it was, you know, I think things happen for a reason. If I went when I was supposed to, I don't think I would have made the trip, actually, because there was way too much big water and it was really bad weather, really windy. So when I did do the trip eventually, it was a little bit better off in the summer. It was warmer. So, yeah, and I didn't realize how big of water that is. I mean, I was out in Georgian Bay for quite a bit, too, so that's big water. And, yeah, even the North River going up to Coldwater, that was a really nice paddle.
You know what? I've never been on that area. It's interesting you would say that's because it's, you know, it's not exactly remote in terms of area. But, yeah, I can understand how you'd be saying that. Fantastic.
Yeah, it wasn't really remote. I mean, there was some nice sections. So the North River is, I would say, remote. But, yeah, there was a day once when I pulled over and I went to a restaurant and had a beer and lunch.
Nice. You see, to me, that's roughing it, right? When you can pull the canoe over, get out and go have a beer and a burger or something, you know?
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough.
Now,
get this one. You won't believe what happened to me. I went to England after that. Guess who I had dinner with? The guy, the sketch writer for Monty Python for that sketch, I'm a Lumberjack and I'm Okay.
No.
Yes, he was a fan of mine. He came up to me and goes, I'm a big fan. And I had dinner with him. I could not be cool during that meeting. I mean, I was sort of like giggly. I was pinching myself. He was even with the guy that banged the coconuts together. Like I'm having dinner with the guy that banged the coconuts together.
No.
Bring out the dead.
He's not dead.
He's not dead yet.
Oh man, it was amazing.
Oh, good for you. Are they still together? Like, is that whole thing still happening?
Well, he said they do some shows on stage now and then, but I think a lot of them were all just dying, right? So, yeah.
So I was going to ask you, how do you compare a trip like this Lake Simcoe to Georgian Bay trip? You know, how do you compare that to an Outback trip? Like, or can you even compare those two? Are they're just that different?
Yeah, you know, it's funny you said that, because when I did that trip, and also the year before I did the Thames River in Southern Ontario, I do far northern trips in the really remote areas, and some people on social media were calling me soft, that I got soft. I went, whoa, wait a minute. I'm not doing that trip because I've become soft. I did that trip because it was a neat story. Like, it was a great storyline, right? So, you know, it doesn't matter where you go paddling. And, like, right after that, I went and did a trip up by Lake Superior. So that was incredible. So, yeah, I think people ask me what my favorite trip is. It's always the next one I'm going on. You know, it doesn't matter where it is. It just matters I'm going somewhere. I think it's exciting.
You ever get the urge to do that one really bizarre, completely outrageous trip to I don't know, like, you know, the far reaches, Borneo or something ridiculous, or further, the Arctic Circle. Have you ever, and I know that's probably not doable, but have you ever thought, I want to do one of those crazy, insane trips?
Well, I like to do a trip where I don't know anything. I like to do a trip where I don't know what that tree is, or I don't know what that fish is. I think that's really interesting. The more, maybe it's the older you get, but you want to broaden your horizons. I think as soon as you say that you know everything, you don't know anything.
Oh, good. Well put, my friend. What's this I hear about you? You stopped guiding. You're not guiding anymore.
Yeah, no. I'm not guiding anymore, man. No. You know, on trip, there's always really nice people, except the one.
Yeah.
Okay. So So my last guided trip, I was guiding a middle-aged man with his young sons, and he had a heart attack in the wintertime. So I said, okay, well, gosh, you know, we shouldn't do the trip. He goes, oh, no, the doctor said I'm okay, my meds are okay, and stuff like that. And I went, okay, and I need the money, so I took him. And day three of day five, he falls to the ground on the portage, and I said, what's going on? He goes, well, I'm having a heart attack. I went, what?
Oh,
I said, yeah, and I said, I thought you said you were okay. He goes, well, no, I wasn't. I lied to everybody. My life's over because of this heart issue. I just decided I'd go come out here and die with my sons.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, holy true stories.
And?
Oh, I got the sat phone out, called the OPP. They came in on ATV. They got him. He's still alive. And his sons were really upset with him.
Oh, my God. That would just see. I've often thought about that, right? Because we, as you know, we spend a lot of time in remote and rural parts of this country shooting the TV show, and I've often thought, and Pete and I have talked about it. You know, we've often thought, you know, what would happen if somebody had a real serious medical issue, like a heart attack, out in the middle of, you know, in those real remote areas. We've often thought about that. Eh? Never saw it.
Well,
never.
Knock on wood,
but it'd be crazy. That's
but it's not a reason to not go anymore. I mean, I bring a satellite phone and a spot device and everything else. If something happened, people are going to come in and do a rescue. And I'm not going to sit at home because something might happen. It's just that I find that the real danger out there are people. Like, you know, that wouldn't have happened if I mean, the trip just before that, though, there was a middle-aged couple, young couple. The middle-aged man made a pass at the young woman. And it's an endless story I could tell you, but basically I said, what were you thinking? Like, what are you, and his wife caught him and there was an argument, and I still had to paddle for 4 days with that group. So, the young guy, he ended up beating the guy to the ground. Like, they had a big fist fight, and I was like, boy, I'm glad I'm making $60 a day guiding.
Yeah, no kidding.
Sounds like a soap opera. We should get the TV crew with you.
No wonder you write books, for God's sake. Speaking of which, any new books on the horizon?
I just finished that one, Once Around Algonquin. It's doing really well, actually. It's a bestseller in Canada, so that's really good. I was really excited about that. And I just finished the update of the Paddler's Guide to Algonquin, so that will be out in February. And it's it's a, I think it's a fourth edition, but I added 10 more roots on it. So.
Wow. I'll be honest with you. I have not read that book yet. I'm looking forward to it this winter to curling up one day or two and getting through that one. But all your, the rest of your books, I'm a big fan, buddy. Big fan. Huge.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And you know,
yeah.
You know what's interesting about what you write? There is no way that you could write those books without having experienced the outdoors, because it doesn't matter who it is. You cannot articulate what the outdoors is unless you have spent that quality time that you have doing those things. So the books read really well, really, really, really well.
That's my main objective, is to get out in the woods as much as possible. I mean, I'm an anxious person, a hyper person. It calms me down. I'm in the woods.
Winter's coming, my friend. We talked to the meteorologist from the Weather Network, and he says it's going to be a cold one this year. Is that going to deter any planned winter camping trips for you?
I hope we just have a good winter. I mean, I love winter camping. I like using the Prosperous tent, the freight toboggan. The one issue we had last year was a really good winter, but we had a lot of snow, so a lot of slush on the lakes pulling the toboggan. So hopefully that's a bit better this year. But yeah, I love Canada because we have four seasons. I mean, next week I'm doing a canoe trip. The week after that, I'm doing another canoe trip, and I'm going to bring my hot tent so I'm warm at night. Backpacking.
What's your hot tent?
Oh, this is a snow trucker. It's a canvas tent with a stove inside, right? So. You get nice and warm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some folks might say that that's cheating.
Or smart.
You know what? I never thought about that. That's a good way to look at it.
Well, when I used to travel up north with the Cree, I mean, that's what they used. They didn't go and make a tiny shelter with a small fire. They, you know, if you're going to travel the land, you get smart about it. So,
Go ahead.
It's fantastic. The trip I do, you guys would love this. So I, in a couple of weeks, I'll go and do my bass fishing. So I take my Prosperity tent with the hot stove, make base camp, and go bass fishing all the time. And everybody thinks the season's over, and it's not.
No. And you know, it's one thing about you, and I want to just point this out. And we have a lot of, obviously, outdoor enthusiasts on this program as segment hosts, and they all, for the most part, they're all pretty consistent, right? They portray that consummate outdoors person. Nothing phases them. You know, the rougher the better. Let me sleep under the stars on dirt. Throw a couple of rocks under my back. That'll just make me feel better. Like that kind of attitude. And what I love about you is that you don't do any of that stuff. You don't mind coming on here and say, roughing it? What are you, out of your mind? If I can have some comforts, I'm going to rough it. You got to be crazy. That's very, it's refreshing to hear that.
Yeah, I don't try to survive out there. I thrive out there. I'm the happy camper, for heaven's sakes.
That, very well put. You are happy out there. And I don't care who you are. You can't tell me that you're happy sleeping on rocks. There's just no way. You can't. And that should be the way you define all of your outings. If you're into the outdoors, you should define them that way. Am I happy? And yeah. If at any point you say no, then you got to say, well, what the hell am I doing here then? You know?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, oh, for sure.
Anyways, my friend, I will let you go. We'll talk to you when we are in full winter, and we'll hopefully get a chance to catch up with you in a yurt or something out there. Who knows?
Oh, that sounds fantastic. I'm just heading out on a hike right now. I'm doing the Hike Halliburton thing. It's a big, huge 100 hikes throughout Halliburton. All these volunteers are doing it. And so just about a half hour, I'll be out in the woods.
Good for you, my friend. If folks want to check you out, it's kevincallen.com. That's kevincallen.com. Better yet, go to fishingcanada.com. He's got his own blog section there. Some fascinating blogs. Very interesting gentleman. Kevin, thank you, my friend.
All right, thank you.
Kevin Callen, the happy camper. Great attitude. Just a great, wonderful attitude for life, for sure.
Yeah.